Good afternoon, everybody. It's what a privilege it is to be together and to raise up the Lord Jesus as Lord. And I look at all of your faces and it just it warms my soul to see such potential. And I look at you, dear young people, and how my heart goes out to you. And I hope with the Lord's help that we can honor the Lord Jesus together this afternoon. We have a tremendous Savior. And so I would like to start by singing hymn number 151. It's hard to know what hymn to use in a meeting like this. There are so many that are honoring to the Lord Jesus. And I had on my heart earlier, number 150, and we sang that this morning. And it's such a beautiful hymn, isn't it? I read of a prolific hymn writer that said of number 150, I would trade all of the hymns I wrote for that one. That's a tremendous thing. But let's sing number 151. Lord Jesus, when we think of Thee, of all Thy love and grace, our spirits long and fain would see Thy beauty face to face. Verse 4. Our Lord, our life, our rest, our shield, our rock, our food, our light. Each thought of Thee doth constant yield, unchanging, fresh delight. Let's sing number 151. Lord Jesus, when we think of Thee,
and of the will.
we open God's Word, let's ask for His help. Let's turn, first of all, to Colossians chapter 1. The brother that asked me to speak this afternoon told me that there would be a lot of young people here, and I have to tell you, young people, I hope that's okay if I address you specifically, but anything that I say is certainly not limited to the young people. The Lord Jesus is sufficient for everybody. And I have a real joy for you young people. It's a difficult world that we're living in. There are serious challenges. And as I pondered what to speak about, I got on my knees. I asked the Lord, what shall I say? I really feel inadequate to stand before you today. You know, there are people in this room that I used to ride on their shoulders. I still feel like I'm a young person. And the Lord said to me, speak about me. Share the Lord Jesus with them. And that's what I'd like to do. So let's read from Colossians 1. And this is what our heart is for you young people. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and the long suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Just stop right there. Our hearts have been occupied so far in this conference with the Lord Jesus, God's beloved Son. Think of who this person is. God's beloved Son. I want to speak to you about the Lord Jesus and His life down here from the book of John. Before I do that, though, I just want us to think a little bit about who the place that the Lord Jesus has right now. Think about what Joseph said to his brothers. Joseph is a picture of the Lord Jesus. God has made me Lord of all. That's the place that the Lord Jesus has. Haste ye and tell my Father of all my glory. A little more in Colossians 1 here. I just want to read some before we start turning to the book of John about the place that the Lord Jesus has. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. The Lord Jesus is the head. God has given him a position of total majesty. The Lord Jesus was there in a past eternity. We read in Proverbs 8, before he formed the mountains, I was there. I can't quote it exactly. Maybe we should turn to that quickly. In Proverbs 8, speaking of the Lord as wisdom. I'm sorry to be nervous, brethren. This is not my normal audience. In Proverbs 8, it says, I was set up from ever from the beginning, or ever the earth was, when there were no depths. I was brought forth when there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. Well, as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the fountains of the earth, then was I by him as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. The Lord Jesus was there with his Father in a past eternity, and he was thinking about you, and he was thinking about me. Even before the earth was formed, before you were conceived and brought in this world, the Lord knew who you were. I think it's in Jeremiah where it says, when you were still in the womb, I knew you. Before you were in the womb, I knew you. The Lord Jesus gave up that place that he had with his Father. And he came down into this world to die on Calvary's cross so that your sins could be washed away in his precious blood. And he has risen victorious, and God has given him the highest place in heaven. And I want to ask your heart, brethren, what is the Lord Jesus to you? I look across your faces, young people, and I know that many of you know and love the Lord Jesus. Is he the number one person in your life? He needs to be. That speaks to my own heart. Is he number one? Yesterday, Don shared a verse with us in Hebrews 13. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The perfect humanity of the Lord Jesus was tremendous, marvelous. But his heart was the same then as it is now, as it will be in the future. The Lord doesn't change. In the book of John, we find in chapter 8, when the Lord claimed to be the Son of God, they were arguing with him. He says, have you known our father Abraham? He says, your father Abraham rejoiced. We should read that together. Before Abraham was, I am. What a tremendous claim. John chapter 8. Let's read verse 54. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yea, ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar, like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. How's that possible? Because he was there. You know, we read this morning in Genesis 22 of Abraham and Isaac going there. My father, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And what's the answer? God will provide himself a lamb. And so they went. One unwillingly and the other one willingly. Is that what it says? No. They went, both of them together. Isn't that beautiful? Here's the Father and the Son going along together. And the Lord Jesus could say here, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. Let's look at verse 58. Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Isn't that incredible? I am. That's what, when God appeared to Moses, that's what he said too. At the burning bush, you remember, Moses said, well, who shall I tell him you are? He said, I am, has sent you. Not I was, not I'm going to be someday. Yes, I am. I am. From a past eternity to a future eternity, I am. And that's who the Lord Jesus is. I am. What I would like to do is take up some things in John that the Lord Jesus said, I am. And many of these can be, all of these perhaps, the gospel could be preached from any one of these things. But I would like to just try to encourage you, brethren, in these things. And I want you to think about when the Lord Jesus said, I am, he was, I am. When he claimed to be something, he was all that. You know, I could say I'm a fast runner, which I'm not. Sorry, Mario, I lied. When the Lord Jesus made a claim, he was totally that thing. And so I would like to try to encourage us from some things in the Gospel of John. And I just wanted to start by reading there in Colossians about the place that God has brought him into. He is the head. And in all things, he should have the preeminence. And so, young people, in your lives, when the Lord says, I am this to you, and we'll get into some of these things, take that to heart. The Lord says, I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. We'll get into some of these things and what it means to your life. Think of it. The man in the glory, right this moment, at the highest pinnacle, nobody higher, is something for you and for me. That's a tremendous thing to ponder. So let's turn to John chapter 6. By the way, some of you younger kids in here that maybe you are not in the habit of reading regularly yet, that's a great habit to cultivate. And the Gospel of John would be a good place to start doing that. And if you're older and you do not have that habit developed, you'll never be, how do I say this? Today would be the day to start that. You're never going to be younger than you are right this moment. Take up the Word of God and read it. Start in the Gospel of John. It's a tremendous book. Okay, John chapter 6 and verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life. You ever find in your soul that you're hungry? I have found that in my life. Here the Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You know, young people, there are so many things that you can feed on in this world that have no value whatsoever. Just turn over to Isaiah 55. It's one of my favorite chapters in Isaiah. Isaiah 55. Let's read the first two verses here. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now listen to this question. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye of that which is good, and let your soul delight in fatness. Oh, there are so many things, brethren, that strive for our attention and our time. And I have to ask myself, what am I feeding on? Am I spending money or time or resources on bread that are things that don't satisfy? Oh, young people, turn to the Lord for that hunger in your soul. God has put eternity in your heart. If you know and love the Lord Jesus, there's a desire to be filled with His knowledge, with His ways, with His thoughts. And yet how often we find that we're spending capital, both time and money and interest, and that which is not bread. And here the Lord could say, I am the bread of life. Are you hungry in your soul? You know, you could walk out these doors tonight and go to endless places in this city to try to find satisfaction for your soul. You're not going to find it there. You're going to find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the bread of life. You know, it's in John chapter 8, when the Lord said that, there were many people offended by that. They didn't understand what He meant. How could He be the bread of life? And the Lord says, I can find this again here. John chapter 6, I'm sorry. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give him is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And there the Lord Jesus was talking about eating to obtain life, eternal life. And once you have eternal life, then there is a lifetime of feeding on the bread of life to maintain it. You know, if I asked some of you young people to just, we had that meal right there, right? And it was excellent. And now to go until next Lord's Day with nothing to eat, not a drop, would you do that? Like, no, I wouldn't do that. I want to have a snack as soon as this meeting is over, as you can see. Right? But how often spiritually do we say, no, I'm not going to eat of the living bread. You know, I gave the Lord an hour last Sunday. They ought to be happy with that. No, there's so much more to be had. Get into the Word of God. Open it up. Read it. Let the Lord Jesus pour into your soul. I am the bread of life. You're not going to find nourishment anywhere else. Think about the manna that the Lord gave the children of Israel in the wilderness, right? we don't have time to develop this, so I just want to give you a few points and just whet your appetite for this. Go look this up. Small, white, sweet, nourishing. It was on the dew and not on the ground. All of those things remind us of who? The Lord Jesus, right? Think about what it says in Philippians 2 about humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There's these little white pieces of manna like coriander seed, it says in Exodus 16, and they picked it up and, oh, it tasted like wafers and honey. That's who the Lord Jesus is to us, young people. He has, I don't know how to express this well to you. Feed on him. Okay, let's move on for the sake of time. Let's go to John chapter 8 now. John 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. It says in 1 John chapter 1, this then is the message that we have heard of him, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And that's who the Lord Jesus is. No darkness at all. There can be no sin in heaven. And we could preach the gospel from this verse and spend perhaps a whole week of meetings on the light. But I would like to ask you, I would like to speak to you, those of you that know and love the Lord Jesus, from this. You're looking for clarity in your life? It's a dark world out there, young people. You, when I leave here tonight after supper, Lord willing, I'm going to drive back to Grant, Michigan. I would like for my headlights to be able to show me all the way there. I'm the kind of a person that likes to have a plan. But you know, it doesn't work that way, does it? You turn those headlights on, you're only going to see a couple hundred feet. And then we have to proceed in that light that we've got. And as you go along that path, the light shines out further and further, right? And eventually, if the Lord will, I'll get home to my house in Grant, Michigan. And those headlights will only have shone just a little ways ahead of me. But you know, we're going through a dark world, young people. And the Lord Jesus is the light of the world. Trust him. Trust him. I am the light of the world. You want clarity in your life? Get into the Word of God and find out who the Lord Jesus is. You want direction in your life? Ask him. This is the person that is on high in the glory right now. Say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He wants to show you that, to open it up. You know, sometimes we find ourselves groping around in the dark, trying our own way, right? And how the Lord would like to say, this is the way, walk in it. I think it's in Psalm 119, where it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. I was glad when you read this morning of the word coming into the world, capital W. The Lord Jesus is the word. This is the word of God, young people. Fill your hearts and your soul with the Lord Jesus. And he will guide you and direct you. So important. And so totally reliable. You know, I could grope around. So we have a saying at our office, by the way. We have this giant computer database that seems like it's the catch-all for every file possible in agriculture. And so somebody would say, well, do you have the, you know, the crop removal file for cotton? Yeah, it's on Dropbox or it's on this file server, whatever. It's like, well, it's finding it in there is like going into Walmart with the lights off, right? You're looking for the plastic forks. You know they're in there someplace, right? But where? It's not the way the Christian life should be. Walk in the light. The Lord Jesus says, I am the light of the world. You can't find a more reliable source of light than that. So I just want to encourage you, young people, don't waste valuable time and resources groping around in your own strength. The Lord says, look unto me. I'll give you the light. I am the light. You want light? It's me. I'm the light. What a beautiful thing to be able to turn to the Lord. You know, all of us have been in places, probably many of you this week, where you're like, Lord, what shall I do? What do I do? There's a fork in the road. There's a choice to be made. There's an unexpected circumstance that's come up. There's been an illness. Joseph asked you to have an address. Sorry, Joseph. With the Lord's strength, I will try to encourage the Lord's people. But get on your knees and grope around and say, well, I got this. No, get on your knees. Say, Lord, I need your light. Please give me. And he will. Okay, let's move on. John chapter 10. I'm just scratching the surface on these things, young people, because we could have a whole conference on any one of these things. But I hope that I'm whetting your appetite for this. John chapter 10. There's a couple of I ams in this chapter, and they're beautiful. Let's read verse 9. The Lord says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Well, in the gospel sense, this is speaking of entering, of opening your heart's door to the Lord. And he is the entrance into salvation. But now I want to speak to you, young people, from a Christian living point of view. Now, it's my understanding in biblical times that there were two kinds of sheepfolds. One of them would be a large enclosure that might have a number of flocks in it, and perhaps there'd be a herdsman of some kind, a hireling, to put the sheep in, keep them in there all night, and then the next morning the shepherd would call his own out. It's like, come Bernie sheep and Bob sheep or whatever, and they would go out. But then there was another kind of fold, and it was a much smaller one that would be an individual flock, perhaps out in the wilderness, a little circle of stones perhaps. And then the shepherd would, at night, they'd count the sheep as they went in. Maybe there was 15 sheep or whatever, 1, 2, 3. Oh good, there's none missing. And then evening would come on, and then that shepherd would lay down in the door, in the space. And he was the door. And so if there would come some wild beast or a robber to steal a lamb perhaps or whatever, he had to deal with that shepherd laying there in the space. I am the door. That's what the Lord Jesus is for us. I am the door. Think of the protection in that. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 8. This was read to us yesterday, and I found it to be very encouraging. Isaiah chapter 8. Let's just read 13 and 14. Sanctify. That means to set apart. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Now verse 14. and he shall be for a sanctuary. Oh, young people, a sanctuary. I know that you have felt this. I have. All of us have. Sometimes you just need a place of refuge, a place of safety. You know, the enemy of your soul is like to pound away all the time, right? It's chipping away, chipping away. And there needs to be a place of safety. Here the Lord says, I am the door. Anybody that comes after you when you're under my protection will have to deal with me. He's basically what he's saying. What could be safer than the Lord Jesus himself saying, I have you. And yet, what's our tendency? To go, well, Lord, you can have Sunday for a couple hours, and I might give you Wednesday night once in a while, and that's all you get. The rest of the time, I got this myself. Oh, it's the wrong choice, brethren. Here the Lord says, I am the door. Be in my care. What protection, what safety. And how often we just don't take that for what he says. I'm the door. Somebody wants to come and cause you problems, it has to be, if you're safely in that fold and the Lord Jesus is there as your protection, you never get more better protection than that. Now, I know that sometimes the Lord allows things in your life. He allowed things in the life of Job. But Satan could not do anything to Job without God's express permission to do that. That's the kind of protection that we're talking about. That Satan himself has to go get, if you will, a permission slip from God to do anything to you. I am the door. You believe that? Practically, do we believe that? Let's go down to you. John 10, verse 11. Let me get back to John 10 here a minute. Could really spend a lot of time on this. The shepherd in the scripture is a tremendous topic. John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I have to ask you again, do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? He gave his life for you. He gave his life for you. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, he is your shepherd. I was really struck with the verse in Mark that says, when the Lord Jesus saw the multitudes, he had compassion on them because they were as sheep having no shepherd. Think of the heart of the Lord Jesus. I've spoken on this before, but it just moved me. The Lord is standing over the city of Jerusalem, right? And it says he wept over it. How often would I have gathered thy children as a hen gathers her chicks under my wings and you would not. What a heart that the Lord Jesus has. That heart is for you. And now let's speak about it in terms of our Christian walk. Turn to Ezekiel 34. This chapter deals with shepherds, and you could spend a lot of time on this. This is addressing the shepherds of Israel, and it's given in a negative way because they were not doing a good job of it. But it shows us what shepherds do. And I just want to point some of these things out that the Lord Jesus wants to do, young people, for you as the good shepherd. Verse 3, the end of verse 3. Feeding the flock. I hope it's okay if I change the negative to positive here. The diseased have you not strengthened. The Lord Jesus wants to strengthen you. You know, we suffer problems, don't we, brethren? We do. The Lord, we're living in a fallen world. I was just talking with Bruce Embo at lunchtime about the Zika virus and mosquitoes. Many of you know that I work in agriculture. And I told Bruce that my job is to fight the curse. That's what I'm doing. They're constantly battling weeds, insects, disease. When you open a bag of seed corn, where's Barry at? So Barry, when you start planting corn next March or April, everything that happens, it goes down, 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 doesn't it? And when you get to the harvest, oh, there's a little bit left. The diseased have you not strengthened? Oh, the Lord wants to strengthen us, brethren. What's the next thing? Healing that which is sick. You know, we all feel this, don't we? I'm not that old, but my hands hurt. My thumbs have arthritis in them right here. My knees are not that good. I've shared this with some of you this summer. I'm watching my dad in his final years. And it's difficult. And yet, think of the heart of the Lord to heal that which was sick. You know, think about what the Lord said when Lazarus died. Or what he did when Lazarus died. And the word goes out, he whom thou lovest is sick. Did the Lord feel that? He did. And he says, come, let's go. And he acts. But, you know, I'm not saying that the Lord is going to take away all of your problems, but I am saying as the good shepherd, here the Lord cares and the Lord wants to heal. Maybe you need healing emotionally. Does the Lord care about that? He does. You're hurting inside? The good shepherd cares about that. Bound up that which is broken. You ever feel broken, young people? I have. The Lord wants to bind that up. I am the good shepherd. And let him work in your life. Brought again that which was driven away. Oh, brethren, we need this in our assemblies. It hurts when you see other young people that you were going along with and suddenly they're gone. It hurts. Does the Lord care about that? Yes, He does. I am the good shepherd. Sought that which was lost. Well, we could spend a lot of time on this, brethren, but here the Lord says, I am all of those things. Isn't that encouraging? I find that very encouraging. Okay, we're running out of time. John 15. This one is near and dear to my heart. John 15:5. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me he can do nothing. Here the Lord says, I am the vine. You are the branches. What are those branches supposed to do? bring forth fruit, right? Think about the what it says in Galatians 5 about the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Now I got to look it up. Gentleness, goodness. We better look it up. It's the Word of God. Let's get it right. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit. By the way, I used to read this as fruits. It doesn't say fruits. This is a one thing. Think about it like an orange, young people. It's a fruit with sections. Does that make sense? Here they are. Love, joy, peace. Those three are Godward. Long suffering. We need that, brethren? We do, don't we? Long suffering. That's how Dick Gorgas used to say it when I was a young person in the East. He would say, long suffering. I mean, you remember him say that. Gentleness and goodness. Those are toward our brethren. Faith, meekness, self-control, temperance. Those are individual. That's the fruit of the Spirit, brethren. You want to be fruitful and useful in your life? Abide in the vine. The Lord says, I am the vine. Abide in Him. Spend your time with Him. Grow in Him. Love Him. Serve Him. It's worth it. It's a marvelous thing. And then this fruit comes out. It reminds me of the priestly garments in the Old Testament. And I can't remember where this is found, but I'll explain it to you. At the bottom of the garment, there was a little golden bell, and then a little golden pomegranate, and a bell and a pomegranate all the way around. And what does it speak of? Testimony and fruit in balance. Abide in the vine. You know, you go to your workplace, you go to your office, you go to school. Let there be a balance of testimony and fruit in your life. Put up your flag early. When I was a kid, we were always taught to staple the colors to the mast. And that's a sailing analogy. It means put up the flag so everybody can see it on the mast of the ship early. Don't be afraid, kids, to say, I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. And there will be fruit and testimony in your life. The Lord was a perfect example of that. And as the vine, He's the source of all of that fruit. And you can honor Him in it. John 11:25. This is the story of the raising of Lazarus. A beautiful story, by the way. John 11:25. Jesus said unto her, this is Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I am the resurrection and the life. You know, this morning we remembered the Lord Jesus in His death. And as we broke that bread, I thought of this. The Lord Jesus died. He came into this world, the Son of God, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, no blemish, no spot. And He went to the cross and He died. And they put Him in the tomb. And from a natural standpoint, you could say, well, that was that. He's dead. But what happened on the first day? The awesome thing. He's not here. He's risen. Why seek ye the living among the dead? The Lord Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. You know, Lazarus was raised back to life, but he wasn't the firstborn from the dead. Why? Because he died again. The Lord Jesus would never die again. Right this moment, the Lord Jesus is at the right hand of his Father, alive. Humanity, a perfect man, and your Savior. Young people, get a hold of that in your heart. Your Savior, alive, interceding on your behalf, protecting you, loving you. What an awesome thing. What a victory, right? I am the resurrection and the life. It's Colossians 3. We mentioned this yesterday, but I just want to touch on it again. If ye then be risen with Christ, live as much as you can for yourself and give him a couple hours a week. Is that what it says? No. If ye then be risen with Christ, and that if is a statement of fact, not a you might be. It means since you are risen with Christ, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, this is you. Since you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection or your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Oh, young people, set your affection on things above. Yeah, there's so much, as we said before, that wants your time and your affection. Set it on the Lord Jesus. It's the one object of devotion and affection that is worthy. I am the resurrection and the life. He's alive for you right now. John 14. This is the last one. Jesus said unto him, I am, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, Satan would want to say, well, he might be one of the ways, maybe. But that's not right. The Lord Jesus says, I am the way. There's no other way to God. The truth and the life. Particularly here in the United States, people would say, oh, that's not very politically correct. Doesn't matter. The Lord could say with total authority, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Young people, you want direction? You want clarity in your life? Follow him. He is the way. You know, there are a lot of verses we could turn to. I think of Psalm 16, if thou wilt show me the path of life. Does the Lord care about individual circumstances in your life? I'm thinking of the way now. Not in a gospel sense, but in a practical living sense. Lord, what way shall I go? What shall I study in school? Who should I marry? Should I take this job, this place or that place? So get on your knees, ask the Lord. And it says, thou wilt show me the path of life. He will do that. In Psalm 107 it says, he will lead them forth by the right way. You want to be on the right way? I do. And we're not going to find the right way in our own strength or just flipping rolling the dice or, drawing straws. Get on your knees and ask the Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, I have to decide. Show me the way. is Isaiah 55 again, where the Lord says, a beautiful chapter, by the way, young people, study that chapter. The Lord says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than yours. You know, let's just turn to that. There's something there that's very restoring. Isaiah 55 again. You know, I think all of us can think of times, perhaps in the last day even, where we have not done it right. So listen to what the Lord says at the end of this chapter. Let's read 13. Isaiah 55:13. Instead of the thorn shall come forth the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. You know, in our own strength, here in this book in or chapter in Isaiah, they were, the Lord says, why are you spending money for that which isn't bread? Why are you thinking your own thoughts? Think my thoughts. And we're guilty of that, aren't we, young people? But here the Lord could say, in regard to his word and his heart for you, instead of the thorn, the fir tree will grow. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. You know, the Lord can take the mess that we have made in our lives and make it into something valuable and useful. I can't remember where the verse is, but it says, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. So it's not too late to take these things that the Lord is and say, Lord, I have blown it in the past, but I want to walk now with you. Do that today. He loves you. He wants to be these things in your life. He is these things, whether you accept it or not. And the Lord can restore the years that the locusts have eaten and bring up these things that are useful and nice instead of these thorns and thistles. That's what we get in our own strength, problems. Well, I hope that I have whet your appetite, young people, for these things. We love you guys. Trust in what's trustworthy. The Lord Jesus is trustworthy. He's at the highest place of anything and person in this universe. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. It's beautiful, isn't it? That's what the Lord says to you, to me. So I hope these things have been helpful. Let's close by singing 174, I think it is. Jesus, thou art enough, the mind and heart to fill. Yes. Number 174. O patient, spotless one, our hearts should be trained to bear thy heart of thee, that we may rest again. Jesus, thou art King. Let's close with prayer.